day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We know that today, on this particular Sunday, we're observing and recalling All Saints' Day. We read that first reading from Revelation. We're going to simply read again the quote, that loud voice from the throne which said, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." A portion of God's word before us, as I have the custom of doing, let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we gather today as your people, Christians, believers, all of us, we pray, saints by our faith, that gracious faith your Holy Spirit has worked inside of us. As always, I offer a personal word, humbly asking that you be with me to take these words that I have written and studied and prepared to preach to my very best. Take these words beyond anything I could say and touch the hearts and lives of your people. May your law point out our sin, and may your word, your gospel, point us ever and always to the Savior from sin, the one who took all our sins away, paid in full so that we could call ourselves, so that you call us holy ones, saints in Christ. Again, be with your people listening, be with me preaching, always and ever. We pray in your most holy name, dear Savior. Amen. Fellow believers, fellow Christians, fellow saints, there are no cemeteries in heaven. There are no tears, no tubes, no cancer, no chemo, no cardiac arrest, no drugs, no disease, no death. There's no cemeteries in heaven. When you and I think about heaven, there are some things that just aren't there, that don't happen. There are no funerals, no memorial services, no grave markers, no 6-foot deep man-made holes in the ground, no eulogies, no obituaries. No death. No cemeteries in heaven. There's one thing there's a lot of. Saints. Holy ones. Believers. Christians. By grace through faith, I pray that will be all of us. Holy. When were we made holy? At a baptismal font, maybe a number of you, a lot of you, right here at this baptismal font, that sacrament called holy baptism made you holy. With that sprinkle or splash of water, in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you were brought into the family of God. And as a believer by grace, that faith that was implanted in your heart that day, holy ones, a saint. Maybe you think of your being holy because of this book. I pray each day, certainly each week, God finds us in his book. Reading, studying, chewing on, digesting, learning from, applying words from God's Holy Bible. And as the Holy Spirit works through the Holy Bible, our faith is nourished and strengthened and fed. That one who brought us to the faith keeps us in the faith and strengthens us in the faith. The Holy Spirit working through the Holy Bible to make us saints, holy ones. And today at the Lord's altar, we'll gather around these communion rails, and our faith, fellow saints, fellow holy ones, our faith will be strengthened as we receive the very body nailed to the cross, the very blood shed on the cross, to strengthen our faith in that one who gave his life, his body and blood, his life for me and for you. Now, on All Saints Day, we generally remember saints, holy ones who have gone before us, and we will today. We'll think of those sainted brothers and sisters, those sainted moms and dads, those sainted grandmas and grandpas, those sainted brothers and sisters, those sainted sons and daughters. But you know who else we'll think about? Ourselves. We're going to think about us, because I pray we're all saints, the theme of this sermon. We're all saints. Isn't that special? And the fact that we're all saints by grace through faith in our Savior encourages us in our faith walk. All the things our God has done for us, we will ponder this All Saints Day. Think about that heavenly reunion. I mentioned any number that we will see. I know in my family, there is especially one we can't wait to see again. In my family, those who don't know me all that well, 24 years ago in the year of 2001, our 14-year-old son, just days after he publicly confessed and vowed to be faithful until death, had a massive brain tumor. A few months later, it took him to heaven. And we long to see him again. Because even as this sermon highlighted at the beginning in the introduction, there's no cemeteries in heaven. We still visit cemeteries. And I have to tell you, for the last 24 years, when I still lived in Crystal Lake, Illinois, my wife and I regularly and often went to his cemetery. We happened to live in a house next to the church, and there was a busy street, a busy road, and there were no sidewalks, so often we drove the half mile up the street and went to the cemetery. Good place to walk, good place to talk, good place to pray. And we would stand over his marker. And when we would take those walks at the cemetery, we would stand over the markers of any number of saints that I had the honor and privilege of ministering to while they were alive. Ministering to as they got ready for heaven, standing there at the cemetery when we committed their earthly remains, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And even as we would stop at various church members and people who befriended us on their journey through life, most often, though, was our long, lingering stop, staring down at the grave marker in the ground, there etched in stone, Aaron Victor Karlovsky. There was the artwork we chose, a cross with some Easter lilies. There were his dates, November 5th, 1986, September 16th, 2001. And there were the flowers we would always be changing. And I have to tell you, every time we think about our Aaron, we think about that heaven, that joyful reunion. And as people would talk about and think about loved ones who have gone to heaven before us, then and now, we still tend to use those two rhyming words. When we lose a loved one, a sainted son, in my example I'm using, we are sad for us. Sad for us. We wish he was around. We wonder what he'd be doing at age 38. Sad for us, but here's the other rhyming word, glad for him. We are glad whenever we come to a funeral. I remember learning as a little boy when I went to my Aunt Margaret's funeral. I remember talking to her in the weeks before she passed. She said, "David, I want my funeral to be a happy funeral." She picked her hymn. She picked the most joyous, boisterous hymn she could think of. And we sang them with all glee and glory because my Aunt Margaret became a saint. We're all saints. And you know, as I think about the fact that we're all saints, I want to share a personal word too in this message. This personal word is really for the old people who are here, the seniors who are here, old geezers like me. I want to tell you about being one of his saints. Know this, Satan is not your friend. Satan knows for me and for you that our time, God's word in chapter of Psalm 90, that chapter of the book of Psalms, tells us the length of our days is 70 or 80 years. The 70 or 80 years. When you get older, fellow seniors, know this about Satan. He knows your time. My time is limited. He doesn't take it easier. He knows his time is limited. He knows for those teens and toddlers and youth and young people, he's got time, probably. For us, he doesn't. He's working overtime. He's working hard, fellow saints. He's working hard to tempt us, entice us, lure us away from the cross, isn't he? And no matter what age you are, know this, Satan is working hard to win you away, to get you away from your Savior. Listen to a little bit of that picture. I'm going to go back to the things that are coming for us in heaven. I read this and have read this many a time again at a committal service at a graveside. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Can't wait for heaven. I can't wait. I get giddy when I think of heaven. I think of all those individuals when I was a younger pastor and I would minister to them in their homes as shut-ins, or minister to them in some ICU unit, or minister to them on their deathbed. And I can remember how they would say, or I would say, and they would look at me strange when I would comment, I envy you. I envy you. You know, they'd be all tubed up and they'd have all these things going on, all kinds of meds hanging on those bags. You know the picture. I envy you. And they'd look at me strange. Envy me? You're going to see Jesus before me. It looks like you're going to see Jesus in a day or a two or a week or two or whatever the case might have been. We long for, we live for, we look forward to seeing Jesus in heaven. We look forward to the day when we'll too will rise from our grave, that joyful, special, glorified, glorious body like unto Christ. So we think about on an All Saints Day, we're all saints heading towards that. Oh, as I think about heaven, as I think about my Savior, I jot it down here, as we live for Christ, think about, oh, the prize. Oh, the reward. Oh, the indescribable gift. Oh, the undeserved reward. Oh, heaven. What a place. Heaven with our Father in heaven. But fellow saints, until heaven, think about this word. The word more. Until heaven, more. Made a list of some of the mores coming up for us. More worship, more praise, more prayers, more service, more sharing of the Savior with others, more work for him, more toil for him, more perspiration for him, more Bible reading for our faith, more devotions for our faith, more gifts for spreading his message. Our goal as God's people, as saints here on this earth, is ever and always more. Why? Because We want to be God's instrument to rescue more souls from an eternity in hell. More souls rescued. That's our commission. That's our calling. That's our job. That's our joy. That's our delight from our God. As I look at that list I wrote, my manuscript that's in this Bible highlights three words that's in the text. It is done. Did you hear that in the reading? It is done. At the end, it says this. I got to find it again. Lost it. Oh, here it comes. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." It's done. When I read that from Revelation 21, I think of my Savior on the cross. Remember when he said that one word, Greek, tetelestai. We translate it, "It is finished. It is done. Paid for in full. Sin wiped away. It's done." And then he goes on to say there, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." What is that telling us? Alpha and Omega in that language are A to Z in the Greek. From beginning to end, first to last, first breath to our last breath, ever and always living for him who gave his life for us. On this All Saints Day, remember this, we're all saints. As you and I, on a day like this, think back to those loved ones who have gone before us, I think of my mom and my dad and my sister and my son and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas. I look forward to seeing them again. And until then, I look forward to continuing to share God's message, to share God's message about holy baptism, holy communion, hold up this holy Bible, because he has made me and you saints, holy ones, forgiven in Christ. And so, my fellow friends, people of Trinity, go home remembering, rejoicing, praising, thanking God that we're all saints. Amen.